It is Saturday morning on the mighty 790 KFGO, and that means it is time for Mike McFeely Outdoors.
I thought maybe you forgot. Who am I? What am I doing here?
No. How can I put this delicately? I had a frog in my throat.
Oh, okay.
And I just had to kind of go and clear it without grossing out everybody in the KFGO listening area. Doug Lear is the other voice you heard, the smart aleck.
Yeah.
Smarmy.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Now I'm ridiculous?
What? You were mocking my choice of footwear earlier in the week. You stop into the KFGO building, and the first thing you say to me is, ooh, new fashion statement?
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You said, ooh, new fashion statement?
I said, what kind of fashion rules are you breaking today, McFeely? I was just a question, and you twisted it, and you took it, and you made me sound accusatory. It's just a simple question. Should people wear keen or sandals with dress pants? I don't know the answer. And I thought you with your GQ kind of style taste. Well, compared to me, GQ because I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt and sandals.
But you asked it in a very pointed fashion. It wasn't just an innocent question. It was a question with an agenda behind it.
But now you sound like my wife. It's not what you said. It's how you said it.
You get that way working in this building sometimes.
Oh.
What?
Wow. So, yeah, anyway. I didn't mean anything by that whatsoever. I did not mean that, because I wear my Keens a lot, and I think you're probably right that you can wear your Keens on Saturday fishing and to church on Sunday, and I don't think anybody's going to think any less of a person. But when you wear them
Jesus was barefoot, wasn't he?
It's not the shoes that make the man. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying.
You just said that.
I'm just saying. Hey, I need to compliment you, by the way.
Well,
No. My compliments are serious.
Oh, I thought this would be like some snarky, backhanded criticism.
No, it wasn't like a nice hair.
Boy, that was great meatloaf you made there, honey, for the seventh time in a row.
No.
Wow, nice haircut, Lear.
No.
Yeah.
We've talked this program before about the nest cams and the den cams, you know, in wildlife circles.
Yeah.
And you said, well, one of the things that we have to keep in mind with these webcams that are in nests and stuff is that there may be unintended consequences of people wanting to save all of these animals. If they see, for example, the runt of the litter or whatever the proper term is, they might want to save it. Thursday morning in the Star Tribune newspaper of Minneapolis, there was a story saying exactly that wildlife managers around the country in Maine, Minnesota, and other places are getting pressure from viewers to save animals or intervene because there is, you know, an eaglet that's maybe not getting as much food as the other eaglets. And then the do-gooders call the Minnesota DNR and say, you need to save that eaglet on the nest because it's going to starve to death. In every state, Maine, other places, they said, sorry, that's just nature.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's a learning moment for us all. Not everybody survives, survival of the fittest. In Minnesota, they went and tried to save the eagle.
Yeah.
They did. Yep. It died. But they tried to save it because they were under public pressure to go save an eaglet. So I need to compliment you for coming up with that
before
the national media did.
And I appreciate you giving us the opportunity. It's not like we're trying to be judgmental, but it's just explaining to people that there's consequences and there's biological and wildlife management foundations that should be considered when you talk about that. I take it in a right now type scenario is there's a lot of raptors that are fledging, that are learning how to fly. I'm not just talking about peregrine falcons. But what really surprises me is we'll hear people say, I found a baby owl. And I'm thinking, okay, that's great. But 4 months from now, we hear people complaining about the owls. There's way too many great horned owls, and that, you know, the owls are eating all the pheasants. And you just go, what? So which is it? Do we need to save the owls? Do we need to eradicate all the owls? And that's one of the real struggles of wildlife management is people getting past their own emotions and understanding just the fundamental principle that they ain't all going to live. And unless it's, again, not trying to drive it down to the lowest common denominator, but unless it's a whooping crane or a California condor, if someone finds a baby otter along the Cheyenne River north of West Fargo, we don't call the National Guard to run out there and save the baby otter and put it into captivity.
But they're so cute.
They are cute.
And in Walt Disney movies, they're always lovable and have cute voices.
Thanks with the voice part of it. Boy, that gets me cranked up. That's one thing that does get me cranked up is that, you know, you can name, people name their cows and then they eat them. You know, that's.
You could name a peregrine falcon.
Yeah.
And have a camera on. You could name them after radio personalities.
You could.
Right in town here.
Jack and Sandy.
Which one would, what if one of them falls out of the nest and falls 14 stories to its death before it can fly?
Yeah. I mean, we really do go back to the fact that, again, whether it's a moose calf, something big, and if the mother moose is hit by a semi north of Grandin, or I go back to the otters, there's so many different wildlife that, yeah, they get orphaned, they get abandoned, and they just might die. And unless it's, you know, a species that's a few left, really, the best thing to do is to just simply let nature take its course and move on from there, Mike.
Here is something that bothers me, and this is stuck in my craw for years, and I can roll it into about seven different rants here. But are the people who are calling you worrying about that one animal that they saw or that they see on a webcam somewhere, are they as worried about habitat destruction and pesticides and draining wetlands and all of the other things that cause far more destruction to animal populations than a baby eaglet not getting enough food from its mom? Are they calling anybody about that? Are they calling their United States Senator saying, could you please stop native prairie from being plowed under for the sake of soybeans? Because I really like, name it.
You know,
name your grouse, name your bird. Are the people who are so worried about owls and who are shooting hawks out of the sky because they kill pheasants, are they worried about the farming practices today that are so clean and so, in many cases, filled with chemicals that nothing except soybeans can live in a quarter of land? Whereas if they would worry more about that and getting more grasslands, they'd have way more pheasants and everybody could eat pheasants, including coyotes and owls and hawks and you and I and everybody else.
It's really interesting to bring up that human dimension of whether it's one single animal, whether it's gun rights, whether it's non-residents. There's so many hot button issues out there that people will grab onto emotionally and with their own resources and time and phone calls and letter writing. And then over the long haul, if people are concerned, and I still go back to our mutual good friend of Tony Dean, of how unsexy it is, it was, and it shall be to fight for grass and water.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to stand there and pound on the podium over saving native prairie or the future of prairie chickens and sage grouse, but they are more than happy to take a public stance when it comes to other more, I don't even know what the word to say. If you've got the word, tell me. But
well, I think it's just emotional, easier emotional topics, such as the one I always go back to is guns. You know, by God, don't take my guns away.
Right.
Nobody's going to take your guns away, but they're plowing under 75,000 acres of CRP right now because there's no more funding for it and crop prices are so high and everything else. But that's okay.
Right.
But by God, don't take my guns away. When there's been no evidence ever that anybody wants to take your guns away, but there's evidence happening right now that wetlands are being drained and developments are happening outside of cities and forests are being clear cut and grasslands are being plowed under. That's right in front of our eyes. That is happening.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about it. But by God, that boogeyman is going to come down in the black helicopter and take your guns away. So worry about that.
And maybe, you know, maybe we haven't done a good enough job. And I say we in terms of game and fish and conservation media minds is that maybe we haven't done a good enough job of giving people the tools to do that, because they see how easy it is to just pick out a gun control issue and pound their fists about that. But they also see when they drive out to what was a piece of plot acreage, what was CRP, and now it's gone. And really, when it comes down to it, it's money that would save CRP. There's interest in CRP out there.
Yes.
It's just that the federal funding has not come through, and the federal mandate of CRP acre allocation has shrunk over the course of time, when really it's not that different. Fighting for gun rights and fighting for conservation could be done by the same people, but it hasn't.
Need to take a break on Mike McFeely Outdoors. I'll take a deep breath. Doug, his pulse never really changes. He kind of stays there like Hannibal Lecter. We'll take a break.
Hannibal Lecter? Wow. That's what I am to you?
I didn't say that. See, now you're twisting my words around. It's a trap right there. Doug Litter, Mike McFeely back on Mike McFeely Outdoors in just a moment. It's a good thing.